Radio Prague News. Coalition leaders are to meet later today to decide the fate of Deputy Prime Minister Jiří Čunek, who is charged with corruption. Culture Minister Václav Jehlička has suggested that the church should receive financial compensation for property confiscated by the communist regime. And it has come to light that two 12-year-old girls attempted to commit suicide late last year because of class bullying. Coalition leaders are to meet later today to decide the fate of Deputy Prime Minister and Christian Democrat Chairman Jiří Čunek, who is charged with corruption. The case has dragged on for weeks now, and despite growing pressure on him to resign, Mr. Čunek has refused to do so. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek said on Monday that Mr. Čunek's continued presence in government was untenable and that the door would be open for him to return if he was able to clear his name. The Green Party has also indicated that Jiří Čunek's presence in the cabinet is unwelcome. The Christian Democratic Party leadership, which has stood by its chairman throughout the crisis, said on Tuesday it would leave the decision in Mr. Čunek's hands. Mr. Čunek is accused of taking a bribe when he was mayor of the town of Szczecin 5 years ago. Culture Minister Václav Jehlička has suggested that the church should receive financial compensation for property confiscated by the communist regime that now remains in state or council ownership. Mr. Jehlička told Tuesday's edition of Pravo that he would meet with Archbishop Jan Graubner to discuss the possibility. According to estimates, the overall compensation sum would reach 1 billion crowns, and the culture minister admitted that the state was not in a position to pay a lump sum. He suggested an annual settlement over a longer period of time. It has come to light that two 12-year-old girls attempted to commit suicide late last year because of class bullying. The girls apparently slashed their wrists but were found in time by their parents. The case has been brought to light by the Mladá Fronta Dnes daily in connection with a growing incidence of bullying in Czech schools and so-called happy slapping, a relatively new phenomenon in the Czech Republic. Surveys suggest that around 40% of primary school children have experienced some form of bullying. A grassroots social democrat organization in the Moravian Highlands, currently home base of the former social democrat leader Miloš Zeman, has announced its decision to disband. The head of the organization said the decision was approved unanimously as a show of support for Mr. Zeman, who quit party ranks last week after being accused of having harmed his party financially when he was still its chairman. The decision was sparked by an ongoing row between Mr. Zeman, who led the Social Democrats for 8 years and helped make the party one of the strongest forces in Czech politics, and the party's present leader, Jiří Paroubek. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The next few days are expected to bring sunny, warm weather with afternoon highs at around 14 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague and I'm Ian Willoughby. Today, the Czech football squad in disgrace after partying till the early hours after a game. Czechs are the top recyclers of plastic in the EU. And ahead of the Sudoku World Championships in Prague, we talk to the reigning title holder, a young lady from North Bohemia. Then later in the program, Czechs' campaign for democracy in Cuba in this week's Talking Point. Please stay with us. The Czech Republic's national football squad are all over the country's media at the moment, but for all the wrong reasons. They've been slapped with a million crown collective fine for inappropriate conduct after a game on Saturday. Some of the players have admitted to partying into the early hours, but they've denied tabloid allegations. They also used the services of prostitutes. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Saturday night ended badly enough for the Czech national side, losing to Germany in their Euro 2008 qualifying match. But that didn't mean things couldn't quickly get worse. The next day, a Czech tabloid broke the story that some players, including team captain Tomáš Rosický, had ignored rules on team behavior and stayed up drinking into the early hours after the match. And that's not all. According to the report, five players, including Rosický, Martin Jiránek and Tomáš Ujfalusi, invited call girls to the hotel long after others had gone to bed. Team coach Karel Brickner.
Players have said one version of events. Others have said other versions. I don't know which version I should believe and how things really happened. But either way, their actions were inappropriate, and it's difficult to excuse their behavior. It'll probably take me a while to come to terms with it, but now I have to think of facing Cyprus in our next match.
In reaction to the story, the players admitted their conduct was inappropriate at a press conference on Monday, but they also categorically denied soliciting the services of call girls. The Czech FA, for its part, has fined the team 1 million crowns, the equivalent of around $50,000, for inappropriate conduct. A little earlier, I spoke to legendary former Czechoslovak international Antonín Panenka and asked him how he saw the incident.
There are two ways of looking at it. On the one hand, this kind of thing shouldn't happen, but on the other, the players are only just people. I don't think the incident should be blown out of proportion. A million crown fine has been set, which is not that high. But far worse for the players is having their names mentioned in all the papers. Most are married, so they probably will have quite a bit of explaining to do at home.
Some pundits worry that all the extra media attention could have a negative impact on the team's next match with Cyprus on Wednesday, which is now a must-win game following their defeat to Germany. But Antonín Panenka, for one, is confident that players will be able to pull it off.
The match with Cyprus can be seen two ways. The players will want to improve their reputations, although there is a danger some won't be able to overcome the negative mood. But I personally think that once the players come onto the pitch, the burden will fall from their shoulders. I think they'll be able to focus 100% on the match.
The great Antonín Panenka, ending that report by Jan Wellinger. Earlier this month, there were reports a highly efficient antiviral drug developed by Czech scientists had been shelved, reportedly for fear it would compete with existing medicines manufactured by pharmaceutical giants. The substance, known as MK612, has been designed at the Czech Academy of Sciences Institute of Organic Chemistry and Biochemistry, the same institution where the team of Professor Antonín Holý has developed a number of antiviral drugs used to treat hepatitis or HIV/AIDS. Pavla Horáková has been finding out more about MK612.
The future of MK612, which gets its name from the Czech researcher Marcela Krečmerová, who first developed it, does not look so bleak after all, but it is still early days to call it a definite success. Commissioned by the US National Institutes of Health, the substance was originally developed to counter possible bioterrorist attacks, but it could potentially be also used commercially to treat viral diseases. Before it gets on the market, however, every drug has to undergo a series of lengthy and costly tests. MK612 is now in the first stage of trials and so far looks very promising. Zdeněk Havlas is the head of the Institute of Organic Chemistry and Biochemistry.
Although the chemical substance was developed by our laboratory, the virological tests are not carried out here as there is no laboratory capable of that in the Czech Republic. We collaborate with the Catholic University in Leuven, Belgium, the laboratory of Professor Eric de Klerk, a leading establishment in this area. MK612 has been tested there, and the outcome is that it is an exceptionally promising and exceptionally active substance. And so far in tissue culture, it has proved to have very little toxicity.
Aspoň na té úrovni tkáňových kultur velice málo toxická. So far, MK612 is proving efficient against the smallpox virus, the herpes virus and cytomegaloviruses, which are especially harmful to people with damaged immune systems or AIDS. But it has a long way to go before it can finally be tested on humans. Dr. Zdeněk Havlas says that there is always a possibility that the project involving the Czech Institute, the Catholic University in Leuven and the US pharmaceutical company Gilead will be scrapped.
Now the crucial thing is how the substance will react with living organisms, animals, and eventually humans. Of course, there is huge risk the project will be halted. If we consider the possible toxicity of the drug and all the stages of the clinical tests, in every step there is a danger that despite its known advantages, the substance will prove unusable as a medicine. In such a case, all the money invested in the development would have been spent in vain.
Dr. Zdeněk Havlas, and that report was by Pavla Horakova. Anyone who's lived in the Czech Republic or even seen the recent film Vratné lahve or Returnable Bottles will probably have got the impression that Czechs are inveterate recyclers, a legacy perhaps of the communist era when resources were short and nothing was wasted. It seems that even in this age of mass consumption, Czechs are still reluctant to simply throw stuff away, not least when it comes to things like plastic bottles. According to the European Commission, the Czechs are the best recyclers of plastic packaging in the EU. So does this mean that Czechs are now among the best waste managers in Europe? Colleen O'Connor has been finding out.
Paper, glass and plastic bottles. Having lived here for over a decade, I've got into the Czech habit of sorting my rubbish in this way every week, at the recycling bin on the corner of my street. I say Czech habit because I never remember taking so many papers and bottles to recycling bins when I lived in Ireland. The Czechs' fondness for recycling seems to have been at least partly confirmed by the European Commission, which this week released data showing that the Czechs were number one in the EU when it came to recycling plastic packaging, and that 69% of the population went to the trouble of sorting their waste. But according to Ivo Kropáček from the Czech branch of Friends of the Earth, Czechs may be good at separating plastic from the rest of their rubbish, but that this is nothing for environmentalists to get excited about.
We are not first in recycling of waste. We are first only on recycling of plastic packaging. 33%, one-third of all waste which people produce is bio-waste. And only 13% are plastics. And packaging plastics is only part of this 13%. So we are first in Europe in separate around 10% of waste.
Ivo Kropáček says that Czechs actually lag far behind other European countries when it comes to thoroughly sorting and recycling their waste.
We need separate whole waste, like Austria. Austria has a separation ratio around 50%, Germany as well, Belgium as well. But Czech Republic, we have a separation ratio around 16%. So, okay, we are first in separation of plastic packaging, but we have a lot of work to separate whole waste.
According to Mr. Kropáček, a swathe of new measures like doorstep recycling, higher landfill taxes and municipal composting schemes need to be introduced for the Czech Republic to reach Western levels of recycling, especially when it comes to recycling bio or food waste, and that it is not simply enough for Czechs to bring their empty bottles every week to the recycling bin.
The game Sudoku, a logic-based puzzle in which numbers are placed on a grid, has become hugely popular in many countries around the world in recent years. This was reflected in the holding of the game's first World Championships last year, which was won by a Czech woman, economist Jana Tilová from Most in North Bohemia. She'll be in action again when this year's World Championships get underway on Wednesday. But she won't have so far to travel. The event is being held right here in the Czech Republic. On the eve of the championships, Jana Tylová told us defending her title won't be so easy.
Konkurence bude daleko vyšší, zatím je přihlášeno 28 zemí a jako...
The competition will be a lot higher. So far, 82 countries have signed up. I know that last year, half the best Dutch and German players missed the World Championships in Italy. For instance, the German national champion didn't even know that there was a German qualification tournament to get to Italy. So I know it'll be harder than last year.
I z tohoto důvodu vím, že ta konkurence bude daleko těžší než loni.
The Sudoku World Championships are held once every 12 months. During the rest of the year, competitors spend a lot of time training.
Tak já osobně luštím dvě soutěže, které jsou na internetu a kde jsou vedený měsíční roční žebříčky.
I do two different puzzles that are on the internet and which have monthly and yearly league tables. Altogether, I usually solve 4 puzzles a day, though I'm currently doing more ahead of the championships whenever I have any free time. As for how I first got into it, I started doing crosswords with my dad when I was a child, and I've been doing puzzles in magazines for 10 or 15 years now.
V těch časopisech luštím 10-15 let.
If Jana Tylová does succeed in defending her title, the prize will be international prestige, not a huge trophy.
Myslím si, že tam budou pouze věcné ceny. Loni to třeba byla plaketa.
I think the prizes will be pretty much symbolic. Last year we got a poster and a Sudoku PlayStation game. I also received some lovely flowers and a bottle of Italian wine, but there was no financial prize or any big prize.
Ale jako žádné ceny finanční nebo nějaké větší ceny.
And the Sudoku World Championships take place from Wednesday to Sunday at the Top Hotel in Prague 4. The website for more information, www.sudoku07.com. Now, in the last part of our program today, Rob Cameron looks at a Czech campaign to help bring democracy to Cuba. That's in this week's edition of Talking Point.
Passers-by on Prague's Wenceslas Square were treated to an odd sight recently. Prisoners wearing striped fatigues, sitting disconsolately in a pretend jail cell. It was neither a piece of performance art nor an elaborate joke, but part of a campaign run by the Czech NGO People in Need to remind people of the imprisonment of 75 Cuban dissidents in March 2003. Many of them are still in prison, denied contact with their friends and family. Nicola Horeš is from People in Need's Center for Human Rights and Democracy.
Well, this was started after March 2003, when 75 journalists and opposition politics were jailed in Cuba in a massive crackdown. And since that, we do this in solidarity with them. So we try to sit in a jail so they would not have to spend so much time in their jail themselves.
It could be argued that events such as this, they don't have much effect, do they? Because the regime is still in power. The political prisoners are still in prison.
This is targeted at Cubans, of course, because they know, they see there's some solidarity with them. And we send postcards with the photos. We try to send all the kind of messages that we are thinking of them. And that helps them to withstand the conditions there. And then I don't think Europeans are much informed about what's going on in Cuba. They know about beaches and mojito. So this is also targeted at the European audience, so they would know what happens.
It's not just People in Need which is involved in promoting democracy and human rights in Cuba, it's also the Czech government, quite active through the foreign ministry. Why is the Czech Republic, why has the Czech Republic taken it upon itself to fight for the cause of Cuban dissidents?
It's of course because of our past. I mean, the feeling or the experience of totalitarianism is somehow difficult to explain to people who live in Western Europe, and that's why I think Czech Republic it's easier to explain and easier to find support for these kind of efforts.
What kind of response have you had from this event over the years?
Well, every year Cubans know more about the solidarity of Czech Republic. Every year we have more opponents because more years we are from the 1989, there are more people that do not understand why we do it, and they think we do it only because the United States wants us to do it.
And that's not the case?
No, it's not, of course. I mean, this was started with people, dissidents, ex-dissidents from the Czech Republic. So they are people who were in prison here, who were samizdat underground journalists, and they now go to Cuba and try to talk to underground journalists there and share the experience.
This year, as every year for the past 4 years, a number of leading politicians, journalists and other public figures took it in turns to don prison fatigues and climb into the cell. One of the first to do so was the former student leader Jan Bubenik, who was arrested in Cuba along with the former MP Ivan Pilip in 2001 after trying to pass materials to Cuban dissidents. Jan Bubenik has first-hand experience of a real Cuban prison cell.
Unfortunately, we've been with Ivan Pilip in 2001 in Cuba to meet with a few dissidents and independent journalists, and unfortunately end up in our apprehension and imprisonment for several weeks. And this is why I'm here, to express my solidarity with the people in prison in Cuba and with their families, which live in very miserable conditions.
It's the fourth year this year that the Cuban jail cell is on Wenceslas Square. Do you have a feeling that you are achieving anything? I mean, you could come here every year for the next 20 years, maybe nothing would change.
I think this is the minimum we can do, actually. I think any expression of solidarity which gets the attention of everybody around the world, or at least our fellow citizens here, I think it's the minimum we can do. Last year I was here with the current Prime Minister, with people who are now Minister of Foreign Affairs or Vice Prime Minister for Foreign Affairs. I think their involvement and their ability to express I would say experience of a country which have undergone the transition from communism and had a first-hand experience with similar regime. I think we should be at the forefront of advocating democracy and freedom for people in countries which are not as fortunate as we are.
Do you detect any change in conditions in Cuba or amongst the Cuban regime? Do you think things are slowly beginning to change?
Quite frankly, I don't think that Raul Castro has, I would say, loosened up the regime in any significant way. They've been cosmetic, I would say, concessions when he released four dissidents who've been basically in the worst health condition. But otherwise, he have locked up many more people. Personally, from the information I have, I don't see any changes.
There is, of course, a political dimension to the protest. Many, if not most of the people who took part in the event would place themselves on the right of the political spectrum. But even during the previous centre-left administration, support for Cuban dissidents was top of the agenda, largely thanks to the efforts of former Christian Democrat Foreign Minister Cyril Svoboda. The Czech government has supported human rights and democracy in Cuba for many years and has lobbied hard for the EU to take a tougher stance towards the Cuban regime. Journalists such as Jan Machacek believe that Czechs have a moral obligation to support Cuban prisoners of conscience.
I think it's important because I know and I also remember how important it was for dissidents here before the fall of communism, when someone was expressing public support or any kind of support in from liberal democratic countries. I spent some time in Cuba visiting families and, of imprisoned people and dissidents and lecturing a little bit.
But it's about solidarity, though, basically.
Definitely.
Do you have any indication, any evidence that the people who are in prison get to hear about this solidarity and this project? How do they find out about it? Do they find out about it?
It's really hard to tell how they found out in prison, because there is a very low level of communication with them, but definitely dissidents who are not in prison at the moment are very well aware of what's happening here, and they are trying to deliver the messages into the prisons also. And sometimes people from Men in Need get an information that even people in prison get some information about what's happening here. So it's not easy, because for instance information age doesn't make it into Cuba somehow. That our internet is not available for dissidents. Internet cafes are few, and if it's a little town, dissidents are not allowed to enter the internet cafe. It's not easy, but the message is somehow sometimes delivered.
Unfortunately, it wasn't possible to find out what the Cuban government thought of people in need and their campaign of support for dissidents. The Cuban embassy failed to respond to several requests for interviews for this program. In April last year, Havana expelled a high-ranking Czech diplomat whom the Cuban authorities had accused of spying for the United States. It was the latest incident in a steady decline in relations between the two countries, which had been put under strain by the issue of Czech support for democracy and human rights. Since last April, little has changed.
That edition of Talking Point by Rob Cameron takes us to the end of today's programme here on Radio Prague. Everything you've heard in this show can also be found online at www.radio.cz. There you'll also find an extensive archive of reports and features in text and audio form. You can sign up for a free news email and use our podcasting. As ever, if you feel like commenting on anything you've heard in today's programme, or if you've got any questions that you'd like to ask us, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can write us a letter, that address, Vinohradska 12, 12099 Prague 2, or send an email to english@radio.cz. But for now, from myself, Ian Willoughby, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us. Goodbye, and take care.